This is Healthy Children with Melanie Cole and expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
So we're talking about some things having to do with the weather outside, because in different parts of the country, people are experiencing way different weather. There's really, really cold in some parts, lots of snow in some parts, warm and rainy. And so you don't know what to do with your kids when it comes around like this. My guest today, Dr. Elizabeth Murray, physician specializing in pediatric emergency medicine at the University of Rochester Medical Center in upstate New York, where they have had quite a lot of snow, Dr. Murray. So
yes,
people put their little babies. Well, yeah, I mean,
and
we're in Chicago, and people put their little babies in their snow suits, and then they put them in their car seats, and all you see are little eyes puffed out. So give us some of your winter best advice.
So the first thing is, in car seats, you're right, we want to keep the babies warm because it can get to be so bitterly cold. So the first thing, of course, is the question, do you really need to go outside if it's that bitterly cold, even a trip in the car? But this is a time where if you live in a climate that it does tend to get bitterly cold, perhaps investing in the type of car seat that has that infant carrier that you can actually bring into the house. So you're starting with a warm seat for the baby to go in. The next thing, and something that people I really don't think realize it, is that when you put a baby in a snowsuit, that layer of warmth actually makes it so the car seat straps can't cinch down tightly on them and fit appropriately, especially for the younger infants. You know, they just don't have the size and the muscle tone and the body strength. The straps are sometimes almost as wide as their whole shoulder space is. So the recommendation for safety purposes is not to put the baby in their infant seat with a snowsuit on. Instead, you're going to put them in with the regular layer of clothing and a hat, and then put a blanket or something over them. So if you can, start with a warm car seat in the house, put your baby in with an extra thin layer, hat on, and then a snowsuit over or a blanket over the seat totally, so that way the straps can be cinched down nice, snug, and secure. Because unfortunately, with the snowsuit on, they are just too loose. Even if you pull it down tight, just too loose. You can even try a little experiment at home where you put your baby in their snowsuit, in their car seat, cinch it down, take them out without loosening up the straps, take the snowsuit off, put the baby back in, and you'll see that there's going to be way too much space. We know that you don't want to be able to slide anything more than one of your fingers under the strap between the baby and the strap.
It's just the only thing about that. And we have to hear you and do what they're saying, because I used to shove my baby in there in their big old snowsuit, but then trying to take them, and plus they get really hot in the car. So that's another thing. I would look over and the baby's face would be all red and sweaty. But taking them in and out of those snowsuits, putting them in the car seat, putting them back in the snowsuit if you have to walk through the cold to get into a store, so makes babies cry. And some parents are like, oh, for God's sakes, they just want to take the easy way.
It's a lot of work. I know, and I kind of say it's like putting a jellyfish in a snowsuit. It's really hard to do. You know, and it's not worth the effort, especially now, too, where you can get those. They almost look like insulated shower caps that you can put over a baby car seat. Again, so it's a nice warm layer. It's almost like a car seat sleeping bag that can cover them up, but leaves plenty of space around their face so it's nice and open. You don't have to worry about their airway being obstructed at all. And more importantly, it maintains the integrity of that seat and the straps to keep them nice and safe. This is true for infants, and it's really true up through toddlers. You want to make sure that they're properly restrained.
Okay, so toddlers is important. Now, I know we like to generally go through the timeline, but I'm jumping ahead because I think teens and winter driving is a huge topic right now. And again, as you and I said off the air, sometimes, you know, hosts ask you questions that are going on in their lives right now. Well, that would be me. And my son has got his permit, and it's Chicago, and it's winter. So I'm
so
terrified to teach him.
Understandable. Teen driving is a huge topic in and of itself because, you know, teen brains are not fully formed and they think and act in ways different than us. And plus, developmentally, they're trying to be on their own and choose their own path. And there's obviously rules that they have to follow because it's the law. And then also, of course, rules that we want them to follow for safety. So this is a time where if you have the opportunity to enroll your child or perhaps even enroll your whole family, because you can get insurance discounts in a defensive driving class or a winter safety driving class, take it as a family. So you can say to your teenager, you know, this is important to me for your safety, but I want to learn this for my own safety or for the safety of the passengers in the car. And then set out a clear set of rules and guidelines and expectations where, you know, maybe in the winter, there's going to be certain times where you're not going to be able to drive, even though me as an adult with many more years of experience, I am going to be allowed to drive. Or maybe this is a time where you really are restricting other passengers in the car. Many states, of course, have rules for drivers driving with a permit as far as they can't have other teenagers in the vehicle, things like that. But if you are in a region where that's not a case, then you feel free as a parent. You're allowed to make these extra rules, but you need to make sure that the child gets some practice while you're around them. So whether it be going to a parking lot, if it's a business that would allow you to do such a thing and do a little practicing, getting the hang of things and reminding the teen driver about simple things of, you know, I always say to families, it's four-wheel drive, it's not four-wheel stop. So even if your vehicle can handle getting through the snow and going, you can't necessarily stop as quickly as you might like to be able to do. And you also have to have such a great awareness of the other drivers around you, too. So it's really a two-pronged attack here. It's making sure your teen driver it has the skills and is capable, but a reminder to the teen driver that this is a time to really you need to be aware of so many other hazards. Low visibility, other drivers making poor decisions, people walking in the road when they normally wouldn't because now the sidewalks are all covered with snow. There's just a lot going on.
There is so much going on. And for me, it's almost more terrifying when I see my son get in the car with one of his buddies and they pull in through our driveway that hasn't even been plowed yet. And then they've got to pull out of the driveway into traffic. And it's just absolutely terrifying for parents. But you're right. Teen driving and their teen little brains are its own little whole show. Boy, we could do an hour on that. So now we're going back to our little toddlers. We don't have a lot of time, but they walk to school, hopefully. And it's snowy or cold outside and they're all dressed up and all, but then they hate to get to school and have to shed all these layers. And I see kids, Dr. Murray, that walk to school in just light jackets and their gym shoes because they don't want to wear all these layers. It seems like kids don't do that anymore. They just won't wear rain suits or snow suits to school.
Well, some of it is the parents' decision. You're right. They are going to probably argue with you as far as doing it, but if you need to set some rules in place, you need to do it. The good news is that there are a lot of very breathable, movable fabrics now that can offer certainly some weatherproofing with regards to water, but a lot of warmth and actually be a thinner fabric. So if you do have a child that is walking to school, you need to make sure that they can move enough so that they can cross the street safely. They have enough mobility of their head and their neck so that they're able to look around, that their vision is not impaired at all. You know, we all kind of have that mental image of the little brother in the Christmas Story movie who he was just completely bundled up so much that when he fell over, he couldn't get himself back up. Of course, you know, that's a joking type of situation, but you need to make sure that your child has something that's a little bit reflective so they can be seen if the weather gets bad when they're walking and that they have the mobility to do it. You know, maybe it doesn't have to be the heaviest boot or snow pants don't necessarily need to be worn as they're walking to school, but dressing in layers can be really helpful from a warmth standpoint and having that outer layer at least be waterproof so that they're not wet and walking because that's going to make exposure a much greater deal. As soon as you get wet and you're in cold temperatures, it just really compounds the situation and makes it much more dangerous.
Well, it's true, and exposure is something that kids don't even think about because they don't know anyone who's had exposure problems because nobody's ever outside. They're in cars all the time. We just have about 30 seconds left, so winter safety, just winter common sense, Dr. Murray.
Yeah, take it easy. You know what? If there's a snow day from school because the weather is super cold, then you know what? It's okay. Stay inside. We like people to go out and play and be active when they can, but there are going to be times where it's just going to be too cold and dangerous. If you are going outside with your child or if your child is old enough to go out on their own, make sure you're having a visual contact with them every 20 to 30 minutes or so. Younger kids really shouldn't be out for more than a half hour at a time and really checking in with them. Again, as soon as you get the sense that somebody's clothing is soaked or wet, especially on the fingers or especially on the feet, they need to come inside and warm up. Good time for hot chocolate.
It is, and they love hot chocolate in the winter. You're listening to Healthy Children with our great friends from the American Academy of Pediatrics, right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.